Well, that's kind of the history of the Detroit Lions we've just had for us here. It's a Titanic version.
Spoiler alert.
We have with us Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. While we're trying to reach Joe Schmidt, we're going to flip this, and we're going to get Dr. John B. on now, the Master of Assessments. It's our Psychologically Speaking segment. And, John, you certainly watched the Detroit Lions in their glory days. You remember a lot of matchups with the Green Bay Packers, don't you?
I sure do, and I remember Joe Schmidt. It seems like I used to hear that all the time in terms of tackling. You know, those were Charliani over the ball. I mean, those are really some of the great days of the Lions. But, you know, I'm kind of chuckling as the Lions are winning some games. You know, they lose a whole bunch of games, and now I actually am hearing people that I talk to that say, you know, this could be the Super Bowl if we win all these games. And I said, well, I guess it could be. I said, I'm glad Rico's not here to give him a little reality. I said, oh, I guess it could be. Yeah.
I need a lot of help.
I don't want to rain on their parade. It's like, I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy this. But let's keep this in perspective. It's like watching the lottery and you got the first two numbers. Don't start spending. There's still four more numbers to go. You probably don't
start spending, but don't burn your ticket.
Don't burn the ticket, but just wait. Just wait.
Do you remember a time, John, where a team was a 1-7 start and everyone was, you know, this thing is an absolute dumpster fire? And it was. And they had the personnel moves to prove it. And now people are actually saying, you know, Green Bay isn't that much better. They're, what is it, Doug, 2.5-point favorite?
Yeah, Green Bay is a 2.5-point favorite, but they're 1-4 since the bye week.
So. Yeah, so, you know, maybe this is a chance for the Lions to make a statement or to leave a stain on the carpet at Ford Field.
Well, my concern, and we've talked about this before, you know, I've lived in Miami and I've lived in L.A., and I can tell you they don't support teams over a long period of time that don't have some winning going on. And
right.
I think with that palace with the name Ford on it, you know, I've always said if I had a suicide center and everybody killed themselves, if I were a Ford, they'd open a big building for me, brought you a suicide center. But it's an activity. You know, you can go down there. It's a beautiful, plush building. Let's say you lead a dull life all week. And you get to go and enjoy it. But a lot of people go and watch the other team, you know, just kind of like the excitement or they like a player. Let's see what Megatron's going to do here. But it's really unfortunate that everybody keeps going. And I've been hearing this for, golly, countless years. Why don't people quit going and everything? You know, in fact, just a complete aside, I wish Joe Falls had been at the ending of that Ohio State game because he would have noted that Michigan's fans were very, very sparse at the end of that game. But that's kind of an aside we don't want to throw in right now. But again,
but you just did.
Were they even there? I saw a sign saying, welcome home, Jim, but wrong colors.
But again, with the Lions, I think as long as everybody supports it and everybody goes, I hope the new Firestone gal can get a little traction and change things over there. But, you know, you normally don't start a system at 90. Now, hopefully she can. But I just it's hard for me to, and I follow the Lions, and I'm, you know, when you've got Night Train Lane, Bobby Lane, then Tobin Road, I mean, you got all these great memories over the years. But, you know, you got to be very old to remember those people. I mean, you know, in fact, wait, Jack, you might, but Rico, you don't remember when Tobin Roat ran in for the championship and Ed Meadows Ed Meadows ran into Bobby Lane. I mean, then he and Buddy Parker ended up in Pittsburgh.
Year were you born, Rico?
Dr. John, these sounds like names that you're just making up right now.
No, what do you mean? And Rico, by the way.
I was born in 69.
Okay. The year at November 22nd, as far as the Big Ten's concerned, the only big game in the history of the world. Okay, that was quite a year to be born, I might add. And by the way, that team went 8-3 and lost in the Rose Bowl, and the 66 team, but we don't even talk about the 10-10 tie, but that's kind of an...
I knew it would always work back to the 69 Ohio State-Michigan game.
Jack,
and if people forget it, Dr. John Braccio brings it up.
I'll tell you why. When I saw this week they were comparing on the journey the 69 team with this year's Michigan to Ohio State, and as I count, they've won 10 of the last 11. I'm just baffled that we're not really pushing all the teams in a way. And the thing I love about Michigan State, they've just barged and banged their way in. And they
let's talk about that for a minute. This Michigan State team has had two of the more improbable wins in Big Ten history. I don't think anyone with 10 seconds to go could have predicted that Michigan State would beat Michigan. I don't think that anyone whose last name wasn't D'Antonio would have predicted that when Connor Cook wasn't going to play in Ohio Stadium, that they could give up two touchdowns, not have a takeaway themselves, and win that game.
Jack, let me stop you right there, too. We act like that game didn't happen 2 weeks ago. I've gotten into arguments. Well, if you played Ohio State again, they'd beat you by 7 points. I'm like, guys, this was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it just happened.
It was in Columbus. It wasn't like it was week one.
That's what happens when you have linemen.
It's like week one, I get it. Maybe they get better. This was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you see what they did against Michigan. Doesn't matter.
No, it's revisionist history.
I know.
Whatever happens against Michigan influences whatever would happen against anyone else.
I want to throw one thing in, though. Let's remember that Harbaugh was throwing 8 defensive players against 11 rushers. So he may be a great coach who hasn't won a championship anywhere, by the way. But it's, when you look at that play, I mean, he was clearly outcoached on that play, and I'm not trying to pick on him, but I'm just saying the touchdown's improbable. The block is really not improbable based on what happened there, and then you do sometimes you've got to get into coaching, and let's give D'Antonio rather than, oh, well, look what Michigan did wrong or what happened to Ohio State that day. I think you have to say what happened at Ohio State, and I was there with my wife in the drenching rain and then the freezing weather afterwards, and can definitely say we really dominated on the offensive and the defensive lines. That was just a complete beatdown.
All right, I want to talk about the psychology of Saturday.
Yes. Okay?
Saturday night now. Are you going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium?
Absolutely.
All right. Who gets to wear the chip on the shoulder? Michigan State has made it part of its uniform, and Iowa has been overlooked for so long. People assume that they're going to come through the tunnel on tractors.
Well, so, I think go ahead, Jack.
So who gets to wear the chip, and who's really the underdog in this game?
Well, I think two things. I think that Ferentz is kind of a very even keel kind of guy. He probably won't play the chip, but he'll say, you know, we want to win, we want to play, we want to do our best, we're going to go in there. And I think D'Antonio is probably going to be talking about that Michigan and the Ohio State wins, that we just don't get enough respect, okay? We really have to win this game. We're on a mission. We've got our seniors that came back. Look at Shalik, look at Connor, look at these guys. They came back for you, for us, we're a team. And, you know, we just don't get the respect we deserve. Look, Ohio State's number 6, and we're number 5. Come on. Okay. I think that he probably is still going to be dealing with the chip, but a little differently than trying to use it against Iowa, because a very scary thing is I've not talked to anybody that does not think that we're going to win that game. In fact, people seem to be angry that they're going to have to go to Texas versus going to Miami. So I'm thinking, well, you know, before we get to, we are going to be in Miami over the first, but I'm saying before we start worrying about where we're going to be going in terms of this Final Four, let's play a very good Iowa team and let's go in and let's really do what we have to do. I think another problem we have in these parts anyway, we really haven't seen much of Iowa this year.
No.
That, you know, the East has so many interesting games all the time. Our conference has been
I've watched every Iowa game, John, and I can tell you they're every bit the equal of Michigan State, and it's a coin flip. If I had to pick right now, if you put a gun to my temple, I'd take Michigan State by 1 point.
You think it's that close, Jack?
It's that close. And if Michigan State lost this game, it wouldn't stun me.
I would say based on their past games, they've all been close. Now, the one that wasn't, ironically enough, was Connor Cook's coming out party.
Kirk Ferentz has more wins over Mark D'Antonio than any other coach.
Oh, no. I totally agree. Each game, when they play Iowa, they're tightly contested. The one time that it wasn't in recent history was Connor Cook, and it was actually in the middle of that game. The announcer said, you know, if this Connor Cook doesn't pick it up, they may have to pull him back and put Maxwell back in the game.
Right.
Well, famous last words.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I remember that 86 game that I'm still amazed about, the interception. I count in the misty rain, and everybody just jumped up and left. But that's kind of, Rico, again, a good memory that you don't have to deal with these days. I do really, this is where I may be wrong, and I can ask you, Jack, you've seen, and you too, Rico. Are there skill positions in their quarterback and running? You think they're really the equal?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes. I think C.J. Beathard is, when he's healthy, and he's not healthy. He's had a groin injury for the last month, and it's impacting his ability to run the football. I think he's the second-best quarterback in the Big Ten, a shade behind Connor Cook. And a lot of people will say, how can you say that after what Connor Cook has done? This guy's never lost a game. He's quarterbacked the University of Iowa.
I get it, Jack. I wouldn't. I would have him as the third quarterback. I would still have Nate Sudfeld as the number two quarterback. And here's the thing about Iowa, though. If you look at the numbers, in the last two games, they've given up almost like 400 yards. Their defense has given up 400 yards of offense. C.J. Beathard, he is a good game manager. And I know in this day and age, that's a curse word. But he manages the game. He doesn't make mistakes. He moves the ball methodically down the field.
Oh, I don't agree with you at all on that. I think that Jake Rudock is a game manager.
No, Jake Rudock actually broke out of that and became a playmaker.
Well, he had receivers that could throw the ball deep at the end of the year. But for the vast majority of the year, he is considered a guy who won't get you beat. C.J. Beathard's making plays all over the field. I mean, he's running around and extending plays, and I don't agree with that. I think that they also have three running backs who are as good as Michigan State's three running backs. They have a secondary, including the guy just was the defensive back of the year for the nation,
Desmond King.
Desmond King.
Don't get me wrong. Jack, I'm not saying this
Michigan
is going to be
State
a blowout.
Fans do not know what they're getting. And Michigan State could win this game by 31 points.
I'm telling you,
they have a chance to lose.
I still say in a game that's even, I go with the team with the best player. Michigan State has the best player.
I'm picking Michigan State for one reason, John. These guys have been there before.
I was going to just mention that this is the third time, and there's still some guys that were sitting on the sidelines, and they saw that Wisconsin, when that 50-50 call, remember the ballerina dancer, the kicker for Wisconsin, ended up getting that call. And so I think they saw that. They saw the joy, and even though everyone booed Delaney, I have to remember that too, after the last win we had last time. And Aaron was on the other side, but with the wrong person.
John was leading the boos.
That was one of the most fun days I've ever had. And again, Rico may disagree, but, Delaney clearly has done everything he can to not help the rest of the league, including Michigan State. And so that once he's gone, I will be quite content. Okay, and even though I wish him all the luck in the world and hope it is dotage, he plays a lot of golf. But again, I think we've been there three times. This will be the third time. I also do, back on the first question, I do see D'Antonio seems to be a marvel, and I don't know the man. He's a marvel at getting the team right at the right level, and I think he will focus on, we do not get the respect that we deserve. And I would focus on, look at Ohio State, number six. What are they doing that close? And how come we're not higher? Why? I think he's very good at that. And I think a guy like Shalik in particular, and I still remember his mother was crying on that one thing and when he had sophomore year, still an emotional moment when I watched that. But anyway, and then and Cook, I think these guys are really, and then you got Allen in there. Boy, these are pretty emotional.
Yeah, very emotional. Seniors.
Kind of guys.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be fun down there Saturday. Look forward to seeing you. We'll probably run into you somewhere. We'll hear you and young John going with you.
Yes. Oh, no, he's here. He's here with the youngest, John. My wife's going with me and the Wills, John and Sandra, good friends of ours. One other thing, Rico, if there is a sports heaven where we live forever, I want to spend centuries with you up there. How does that sound?
I'll reserve a table.
You won't be watching Lions games. All right, John.
He said heaven.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
I appreciate
it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Dr. John Braccio, the master of assessments.
You hate the fact that he likes me so much, don't you?
I can't do anything about it. I've tried to talk him out of it. Tried to show him the error of his ways. Renowned clinical psychologist, educational consultant, and Renaissance man.
Which means he's smart.
It's our Psychologically Speaking segment brought to you by Regional Psychological Services and DrJohnB.com. When we get back, we're going to try to reconnect with Joe Schmidt. We have a couple of other windows. Don't know, maybe something happened with Joe and his phone. We hope that is what it is. And we will try to get back with him. But we're going to be joined a little bit later by Chuck Long and Julian Peterson, and we hope Mike Robinson. So we have a big show coming up for you. Jack Ebling here with Rico Beard, Doug Warren, It's a Drive with Jack, the team, 92.1 FM.